started building in my spirit for last week, and God just continued to do some things I needed to share with you. As we are marching forward in 2020, and when you think of 2020 apart from the year, what do we think about? Vision or eyesight, perfect vision. Now, I started needing glasses a long time ago when I was a kid, but the actual mandated necessity of those came when I was required to have corrective lens as an endorsement on my driver's license. See, without that, then the distant things were often fuzzy. Take my glasses off, I can't see y'all. I may just, it don't work. But what would happen in the fuzziness of that, that was my normal. That was my normal sight. What might look like a shadow with my disfocused eyes might actually be a cow in the road on my way home. Hazardous. See, again, my normal without glasses was not the real normal. I believe this morning that God wants to help clear up some of our spiritual sight, kind of eliminate some fuzziness and distortion of focus, and see what His real normal for us should be. What a return to normal Christianity should look like. Let me give you one more analogy and see if it will help further illustrate my point before I get into the Word this morning. I've mentioned this a number of times, but in the past particularly, I have been a sucker for cheap tools. Shiny wrenches, that's good. I know enough to do a few things, but several years ago, I got this voltmeter, ohm meter. How many know sort of what one of those are? This one, again, with my propensity toward cheap, I think this was either really cheap or it was probably one of those you get this free with any purchase if you got this coupon. So I got one of those. You kind of maybe know where this is going. But later at some point, I thought I was having a receptacle problem in my house, so I got my trusty little voltmeter, free or cheap, and behold, it was registering only about 60 volts. Now, house current should be 110, 120 volts, something like that. So I really thought, I got a problem with this outlet, whatever I was checking. And so until I went to check some other outlets that I knew were working properly, and they were registering that same 60 volts or so. So obviously it wasn't the house voltage or voltage coming of electricity coming through that receptacle, but it was my instrument of measurement that was faulty and defective. Now here's what I want to bring home. The application is that when we as Christians have somehow accepted that a passive, watered down, do nothing, don't ruffle any feathers, spiritually compromising type of Christianity is what the norm should be, then we've got an issue. I'm telling you, our spiritual voltmeter is defective. Our instrument of measurement needs to get recalibrated. The instrument to help us recalibrate that in a spiritual sense back to an accurate truth setting is the Word of God. Can I hear an amen right there? 2 Timothy 3:16 from the Good News Translation. All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful for, say it with me, teaching the truth, rebuking error, correcting faults, and giving instruction for right living. That's a great recalibration tool. Amen. We started this resetting process really last Sunday morning, examining what normal biblical Christianity really looked like in the New Testament. And then how do we get back to that? What's our return to it look like? Specifically, our study was about a man named Philip, and I just couldn't let it go this week. And God started building it back on Monday. It was just some things stirring in my heart. And this Philip that we talked about last week and also this morning is not one of the 12 apostles of Jesus. There was an apostle named Philip, but this guy's not that one. This Philip was a believer, a Jesus follower. He was part of that early church in Jerusalem. Let's go back and see three verses of the setting of Scripture in which Philip is first introduced. Acts chapter 6, verse 1. At that time, as the number of the disciples grew, Greek-speaking Jews complained about the Hebrew-speaking Jews. The Greek-speaking Jews claimed that the widows among them were neglected every day when food or other assistance was distributed. Verse 2, so the 12 apostles, gathered all the disciples together and said, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. Verse 3, therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. Now, Philip was one of those 7 men that were selected. They were in the church. They were recognized as having a good reputation. He was recognized as being full of the Holy Spirit and full of wisdom. As this process we see played out, they were selected by the people but appointed by the apostles to minister and administer, I would say, the food distribution program, primarily for the widows that were in Jerusalem. These sound like some pretty high standards or qualifications that were required to simply set into roles as those who would wait on tables. That's the way the apostles described the role they would be filling. I thought of a conversation I heard with someone, and one asked the other guy, I said, do I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit to go to heaven? And the reply was, I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit to go to Walmart. I mean, we want to lower. What does normal biblical Christianity look like? In case you weren't here last Sunday, I'll just share the 4 points, not elaborate on them, and I got to move on. But let me put those on the screen right now. Number 1 was become willing and qualified to serve. Number 2, take the opportunities that you have. Some of you have even been doing that this week. Number 3, purpose to operate in the power of the Holy Spirit. And number 4, read that one with me. Always be open to more of God. How many with your right hand up would say, that's me. I want to be open to more of God. I don't have all that God's got for me yet. I don't have all that I want and need from God yet, but I want to be open. I believe God's been imparting imparting to us a hunger for Him here at Open Door, and there's an expectation that He wants to use every one of us supernaturally, not just at this low level of Christian living, but at a supernatural level. Let me give you a validating scripture that God really does want to use you. After the initial outpouring of the Holy Spirit on those believers in Jerusalem, part of Peter's sermon was from the Old Testament book the prophet of Joel wrote, Acts 2, verse 17, and it shall come to pass in the last days. Now, I believe we're in the last of the last days, prophetically, but it come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh. That, by the way, is not an eyedropper full. Pour out of my spirit in the last days on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and maid servants, that's men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. So what do we see in this normal Christian, Philip, that would enable God to use him supernaturally as God did? Here's what we want to look at this morning. What do we need to do so God can supernaturally use us for His kingdom purposes? I want to share 4 or 5 things this morning about that. Number 1 is remain submitted to God's process. Remain submitted. Somebody say that second word with me. Submitted to God's process. See, Philip did not get to pick the process. He just got to choose whether or not he would submit to God in it. He was one of the ones selected, appointed. We already saw in Acts chapter 6, our setting for this was taking place, that Philip and the other 6 men got selected to head up the food pantry ministry. And there were already serious problems existing. There was griping and complaining. There were accusations, obviously, that were already flying, anger, temper. They're prejudiced. I know it. I knew it all along. They're discriminating against us. They're discriminating against my mama. Huh? The widows and because the issue and because and they're discriminating against us because some come from Greek-Roman culture. That's where we Jews come from instead of being here in Israel. So they have already got something against us. And let me just put this in, insert this. Just because you're in church and you're following Jesus doesn't mean there won't be conflicts and disagreements and misunderstandings and issues that need to be dealt with. But they were going to be dealt with here. But if you could have interviewed, if we could have interviewed Philip, maybe that first or second day in that position, now, you know, kind of you're dumped into this, fix it. So Philip, how's it going? He would have probably said, it feels terrible. So many disgruntled people, unappreciative, bad attitudes. They come arrogantly. They got a sense of entitlement. Sounds like 2020, doesn't it? A lot of them leave. They don't even say thank you. We have no scriptural indication that the apostles, the 12, sat down with these seven men, including Philip, and said, now, guys, I just want you to understand that you're in God's training and development class here. If you pass the course and you do this well, then maybe you can probably promote up out of here and everything's going to be better. We don't see that being announced to these. Listen, I'm just going to clue you in. If you've said yes to Jesus, you're in that class too. I enrolled. You didn't know what you signed up for. I thought I just want to go to heaven. I want my sins to be forgiven. I want this relationship with the Lord. But God won't leave us like we are because we just enlisted in His training development program. Amen. But what God, I believe, was doing with Philip, particularly the focus of our message this morning, he was forging out, he was purifying, he was strengthening Philip in this process so that God could use him more for what was still ahead for Philip. What about us? What about you right now in this season of your life? Are you going through stuff? You want to be mad at people? You kind of mad at God? Kind of mad at the preacher? Consider what God's process might look like and what purpose our discomfort may actually serve. The book of James, chapter 1, verse 2, kind of gives us some insight. He says, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. That's not my natural inclination, nor yours. But he goes on, and look at getting our perspective in focus. For you know, verse 3, for you know, I want you to know, that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you'll be perfect and complete. The word perfect there means mature and complete, needing nothing. Verse 5, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and He will give it to you. He'll not rebuke you for asking. So when I ask, how's your job? Developing. How's your marriage? God's working on it. How's the ministry in which you are a part of which you're a part, where you're volunteering? If you're facing difficulties or challenges in any of those areas, welcome to God's training and development class. He's not done yet. Look over at somebody and say, He's not done with you. Some of you almost said that with an attitude because you know who's sitting there. It's okay. Listen, he said, your endurance has a chance to grow. My endurance has a chance to grow. And God is asking us. We can ask Him, God, give me wisdom. While you have me in this growth development process, I just say, child of God, press on. Don't be a class dropout. In God's process of development, His school of development. Don't forfeit what He still wants to use you in. I want to remain submitted to God's process. Remember in the process that we are instructed to keep drawing on the power of God, even in our stuff, and especially in our stuff. So for some that are here today, in the middle of junk, especially take this promise for yourself. 2 Corinthians 9:8, and God, I'll say it with me out loud, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. Glory, glory. See, I believe that while Philip was going through what may have seemed like a very intense daily spiritual grind in that ministry, in that volunteering position that he was, I believe he was also learning to access the sufficient grace of God for him in it. How about us? Are we? We saw in our study last Sunday that the persecution so radically increased in Jerusalem after that time that many of the believers found themselves literally fleeing for their lives from Jerusalem, including Philip. But the Bible says that wherever they went, wherever they were scattered, they still continued sharing Jesus. That's sure a good model for us to follow, isn't it? So where is the appropriate place where we can share Jesus? Wherever we are. When's the appropriate time for us to share Jesus? Whenever we can. How's the appropriate way to share Jesus? However that God would open up the doors for us to do so. Amen. See how God leads Philip and how we need to be open for God's leading too. We won't review that study today, but God had showed himself so powerfully. And as Philip had gone to a city in Samaria, he shared Jesus with that city, and there was a citywide, city-shaking revival that took place as Philip shared the gospel. There were miracles that happened. There were salvations. People were delivered from demonic control. Peter and John are sent down from Jerusalem. Those people who had already been saved, already received Jesus, they were then filled with the Holy Spirit. And God initiated something in Philip that now seems to be so crazy, so strange, so odd. And the next several points relate to that, because maybe you are just stuck in comfort zone city and you're saying, well, it stinks. Even if this is supposed to be comfort, I'm here. At least I know what to expect. God may be doing shifting. Look at this. Number two, if we're going to have a return to biblical, normal Christianity as modeled through Philip, number two, remain attentive for God's direction. Remain listening for God's direction. Philip's response models this. Remember, Holy Spirit revival was going on in Samaria, but it's into that setting that Philip gets a new set of instructions. Verse 26, Acts chapter 8, verse 26. As for Philip, an angel of the Lord said to him, go south down the desert road that runs from Jerusalem to Gaza. Now, don't think that for us to be attentive to God's direction and following that we have to have some incredibly enormous amount of faith. Really, we don't have to have that degree. Understand this. We just need enough faith to obey God. Today, now, you can put that on the screen. We just need enough faith to obey God. The angelic instruction given to Philip to move on, I want you to leave where you are. It was an incredible challenge. It had to be to Philip. He wasn't given an exact destination. He wasn't told the reason he was to go. The instructions, go toward the south on the road from Jerusalem to Gaza. I read that Gaza was about 100 miles from where Philip was in revival in Samaria, about 60 miles southwest of Jerusalem. The statement then is clear. Oh, yeah, this is just desert. It's desert where you're going. God, are you kidding me? What hope for a revival is there in an unpopulated desert? Here's a lesson for us, though. If we keep obeying God, even without knowing all the details, and we keep trusting him with the results, we will get to see God's results. Amen. But I never had an angel speak to me, you may say. Neither have I. But God speaks to me. It's found in this book. If you're saying, I can't hear God, God's still talking, open up this word. You want to hear it out loud, read it out loud to yourself. See what God is still saying. He's still speaking. But for some here, if he's already been speaking to us about an area of disobedience, we need to just repent, turn around, embrace his power to obey him. And then if we'll make the choice and the decision to follow God obediently, we can expect progressive revelation. I really believe that. You know, if I'm not doing what God's already told me to do, don't look for him to tell me something else. But if I'm choosing, setting myself up to follow God, help me, Lord, then I believe we can expect progressive revelation. It's sort of like the headlights on our car when we're moving down the road. The further we go, the more illumination travels in front of us. Amen. But also like headlights on a car, if we're unwilling to move, our headlights are already lighting up all the road that we will see. Get it out of park, guys. We got to move forward. The light goes on. So Philip, it says in verse 27, so he started out. Philip started out as he went on obediently, responding to that word of God, the word of the Lord that came to him. It says he met the treasurer of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of Ethiopia. The eunuch had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and he was now returning back to Ethiopia. Seated in his carriage, he was reading aloud from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Look at the next verse. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. First, it was a word from the angel that spoke, and Philip obeyed. Now, as he's there, the Holy Spirit said this, go near, overtake this chariot. Realize that this is what God has promised, the leading of his presence, his Spirit inside of us as believers. John 16, 13. In case you doubt it, it probably needs to get circled in your Bible. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come, show you things to come. Since those promises are true for us, we just need to go ahead and predetermine, set ourselves up to obey him ahead of time. Amen? Amen. You kind of raised your hand up earlier, setting ourselves up for that direction. So the angel said something, Philip obeyed. The Holy Spirit spoke to him, and Philip was going to obey. I want to say something else that, as we see it unfold here. Number three is understand that God won't usually do for us what we can do for ourselves. It's all on God. God just fix it all. And God's saying, I'm waiting on you. Hello, take another step. I'm leading you. I'm prompting you this way. Look at how God used this amazing blend of supernatural and natural, and how he will even do that with us. But see it in Philip's life. Verse 30, so Philip ran to him, to where this chariot was, where the guy was traveling down that desert road. Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. And he said, do you understand what you're reading? Remember that the Holy Spirit had prompted Philip, go and join yourself to the chariot. But who was it that ran, Holy Spirit or Philip? Philip did. Who heard him reading? Philip did. Who asked the question? Do you understand what you're reading? God's leading for us is often supernaturally natural. Some of you have heard me say this before. Often it's supernaturally natural and naturally supernatural. I can't say that many times in a row, but you get the drift of it. It says that Philip heard this high-level government official, this man who was the head of the Ethiopian Treasury Department, he heard him reading. Reading aloud was common in the East there. Perhaps he was reading from a Hebrew scroll of the prophet Isaiah, or from the Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Old Testament. Or maybe he just pulled up his Bible app and he just said, probably not that. Listen, but as Philip heard, I suspect that just one of the things that probably popped into his head was, does he understand this? And he asked that question. And don't be so foolish as to presume that every thought that pops into your mind is a God thought. But as Philip said this, I believe that was those thoughts were one of the supernaturally natural ways that God works. And so Philip just asked, do you understand what you're reading? Verse 31, Acts 8, 31. And the man said, how can I unless someone guides me? And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. Come on up. Listen, I toss in this word of caution. When God opens some amazing doors for you, and he will for people in this congregation, don't get distracted from the very purposes of God for the door being opened. What if Philip, upon climbing up into this Rolls Royce chariot, got so overwhelmed and started oohing and aahing that he lost focus of why he was even there? See, remember, Philip had allowed God to take him through some developing and maturing before he ever got to this place where he would have this opportunity for that level at where he was. The place in Scripture that this man was reading, this official was reading from, was what we know as Isaiah chapter 53. It's an amazing, detailed, prophetic revelation about Jesus. It was written over 600 years before this conversation was taking place and before what Jesus actually did had transpired. It spoke a number of things about Jesus' life, specifically of his substitutionary death. In verse 34, Philip, so the eunuch asked Philip and said, I'm asking you, of whom does this prophet say this? Of himself or some other man? He said, Philip, he didn't know probably Philip's name, but he said, would you explain this scripture to me? Would you explain this? And I want to make an observation here that will be important for us on this journey of our new normal, if we're not there yet, and God's still progressing all of us that way. It's another thing about Philip that just wasn't supernaturally imparted to him. It was Philip's knowledge of Scripture. It should be the result of normal Christianity that we are going to get recalibrated into what normal Christianity is. If we're going to do that, then number four is we must become students of the Word. Students of the Word of God. I promise you, if all that you hear of the Word of God is what is said from this pulpit, you are going to be one anemic Christian. I'm not saying that what I'm preaching, other guests that speak here aren't speaking the truth. I'm just saying we mostly eat more than two or three meals a week. At least some of us do. Our physique shows that. We won't go there. But becoming students of the Word, as Philip got up into this guy's chariot, I believe the Holy Spirit shined all over this Isaiah passage to Philip. But I can tell you, I don't believe that was the first time Philip had read that in Isaiah chapter 53 at all. I believe he was a student of the Word, of the Scriptures. All they had was the Old Testament in that time. But because I believe there was a willingness, a desire, and an application for Philip to have learned some things there, I believe that God already had something to work with in Philip. Give God stuff to work with. And then when at the right time he brings stuff out, let me share a couple of passages about this incredible book, the Word of God. John chapter 8, verse 31. Jesus said to the Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. If we're followers of Jesus, then putting the word in and getting that in us ought to be part of that process. And Jesus said, and verse 32, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Truth that we're walking in, going to learn it, not just intellectually, but application-wise, God put life there. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, cutting it straight. That's what it means. Back to Philip and this Ethiopian official. Verse 35, then Philip opened his mouth and began at this scripture preaching Jesus to him. This Ethiopian has already gone to Jerusalem. Let me go to the spiritual Mecca. Let me go to this place where it's supposed to be really happening. And he left there and there was still something missing. Sometimes, and I appreciate the testimony that was given this morning. She said, I'm in my car driving, Miss Lynn is talking to me on the phone, and I prayed right there to receive Jesus, commit my heart and life to Him. You don't have to be in this building. But so sometimes people are having God encounters. They need somebody to come alongside. Let me just help you take another step. Hallelujah. That's where you come in. That's where I come in. Not just behind a pulpit. And the Word of God that you've let be put in us. Here's what the promise of God says. Let me back it up. Verse 35, he began at that scripture, preached Jesus to this official. Philip started at those verses that the man had just read, but he didn't end with that passage. Philip preached Jesus to this man. Wherever we start, find where people are. Start there and then point them to Jesus. Continue going toward Him. Acts 4:12, say it with me. There is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. It's Jesus. Look at one of the works of the indwelling Holy Spirit, John 14:26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He'll teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. I can't remember what I haven't already put in. My wife will question me. Well, don't you remember that I said? Mm-mm. Some of you other men relate. Selective hearing is what we're accused of. I think at my age, it may not just be selective hearing. It might just, I can't hear you. What? Huh? What I'm just saying, we put this Word of God in, and God can bring it back to your remembrance. Let me just do a quick survey. How many of you, you've been talking, and God brings a scripture to your mind. Maybe you've not thought of it in a long time, but you're talking to someone else about the Lord or leading toward the things of God, and that scripture comes. How many have had that experience? Look at hands all over this room. I'm telling you, this Word works, and the promise and the ignition of the Spirit works. And look over the next few verses. Philip preached this good news message of both who Jesus is and what Jesus did. And look at this government official's response as they're riding together in this chariot. Acts 8:36. Now, as they went down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? Hallelujah. We saw that this morning, didn't we? And Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Hallelujah. So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Now, Cody was still in the water when these got baptized, so the Holy Spirit didn't transport him somewhere else. But the transformation of God that progresses in these. This guy was changed. See, God is so strategic. He was so strategic. Danny, would you come? So strategic in dispatching Philip to this desert road to share the gospel with one single man. But God, I'm leaving this revival. Town is going nuts following after you. Holy Spirit's come down. Go to where that one person is. I don't know what destinies and what assignments that God may have for you this week. I'm just saying, don't ignore it. Don't ignore that prompting for that one. If you're waiting for a platform, a pulpit, and a microphone, you might just be waiting a long time. And I tell you, I love one-on-one, just sharing the Lord with people as God sets up those opportunities. Keep looking for them. God dispatched Philip specifically down that desert road. He knew there was a divine appointment that he had with an Ethiopian treasurer. And as he did that, it would seem tradition would indicate that this treasurer must have returned and spoke the truth that he knew now by experience to the queen of Ethiopia. The gospel had engaged itself in Ethiopia at that time. I read that currently even Egyptian Coptic Christians trace their roots back to that. Can I just say that God knows who He's touching through you? Would we be receptive to do that? Philip did. But look at verse 40. Now, just one more point that I want to cover briefly. Give me about 3 minutes there. But I want to say, if verse 40, Acts chapter 8, verse 40, but Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. So God supernaturally, it would look like God supernaturally moved Philip from that baptismal water to get over here. I got more work for you to do. Now, he's probably going to still require that you walk or drive or get there. Don't matter. That's not the significant part. But Philip, where he found himself, he was still doing the work of God. Where you are on your job, in your community, at sport events, at your kids' little league stuff, at acrobatics, be ready. Be ready in the line at Walmart, the gas station. Be ready. It's God prompting you. Start opening the door. Preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Let me go to the last point. Number five is normal Christianity doesn't burn out, it spreads out. Normal Christianity. I think when I got saved as a kid, young, but somewhere along the line, I've shared this before, but somewhere along the line, I almost got like a foxhole mentality as a Christian. We'd watch some of those black and white TV shows, combat and stuff, and see. And I in my little young mind, I don't know how old I was then, but later on, I got in the mindset, I think I'm just said yes to Jesus. Things get bad. I'm just going to hide out in the foxhole, kind of. Wait for Jesus to come back. Listen, I really believe that Jesus is coming back. But in case you've been sitting in that foxhole, okay, I'm just getting along. I'm going to hear a trumpet sound. I'm going to go. God doesn't have you assigned to a foxhole. Get up, be a Philip, and preach and minister. The word preach, as he preached to this Ethiopian eunuch, he wasn't standing up, being a loud voice and talking to him. It meant share the good news. Share the good news. He shared the good news with this man. How incredible that the results are. But it began to spread out. The next time we hear about this normal Christian Philip in the Bible, it's 13 chapters later in Acts chapter 21. But it was actually about a 20-year span. And at this time, Philip is the last place we heard he was. He was at Caesarea. And he's still serving Jesus. The setting is that the apostle Paul and Luke and their traveling ministry team, they were stopping at Philip's house on their journey. But look what they found there. Philip, 20 years later, verse 8. The next day, we went on to Caesarea. Luke is the writer of the book of Acts, by the way. The next day, we went on to Caesarea and stayed at the home of Philip, the who? We didn't ever see him called that before. Let me just put something else. Don't worry about a title or labeling your spiritual office or your gifting. It will catch up to you if God wills. He's having citywide crusade. Still didn't see that label there. 20 years later, oh, that's Philip the Evangelist. We're going to stop there. Don't get hung up on any of that stuff. Just do the work of normal Christianity. Can I hear one amen right there? One thing that so thrills me, he said, we stayed at the home of Philip the Evangelist, one of the seven men who had been chosen to distribute food. Keep serving God where you are. Keep serving. Watch what God will yet do. And as a dad, as a grandfather, this next verse, again, just lights my fire a little higher, a little hotter. It excites me because Philip's normal Christianity wasn't just effective ministry in the city of Samaria, where the whole town, it seemed, turned toward Christ. It wasn't just a divine appointment with an Ethiopian government official. That was thrilling. That wasn't where his ministry all was contained either. But God caused Philip's ministry to be effective in his own family too. Verse 9, last Acts 21, verse 9, he had four unmarried daughters who prophesied. Listen, anointing and power of God was at work in his house too. If you've got kids at home that you are still raising, what are our kids seeing in us? And what are they hearing from us? What are we praying over them? Moms and dads, One passage of encouragement, the last scripture I want to read this morning. Deuteronomy 6, verse 5. He said, "And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I'm giving you today." I want you to read this out loud with me. Verse 7. "Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you're at home and when you're on the road, when you're going to bed and when you're getting up. Write them on your hands. Wear them on your forehead as reminders. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." You know what? Parents, set up boundaries and guards for your kids that are still at home. You are the gatekeeper of your home. For others of you that are here, maybe your children were grown before you ever came to know Jesus yourself. Keep praying for them. Keep believing for them to come to the Lord. But how about each of us here? Have we settled for something less than normal Christianity? I mean normal by God's standards. If so, God's ready to pick it up. Pick up the pace. Get the voltmeter recalibrated. Show us, plug us back into that. Not just recalibrate our hearts, but God, reignite our hearts. If you've got a gas or propane stove that you use, how many know what a gas or propane stove is? Okay, just you're at home. You know that one thing before electronic ignition came out, it would be a little flame called a pilot light. Can I suggest that sometimes we've got comfortable with pilot light Christianity? Man, I want to tell you, I believe God wants to do something different. Back in the kitchen area of the church and the daycare, when they turn on that commercial range, no pilot light, it go, you got blaze that's going on. God wants to turn up the gas, by His Spirit. Be done with pilot light living. God, ignite us. Let us make change where we are by the power of your Spirit. I want you, no moving around for the next couple of minutes. And I just want us to bow our hearts together. Today we are absolutely, every one of us are faced with a choice. God said it through Joshua in the last chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. He said, "Choose today whom you will serve." It means decide. It's an ownership issue. Who am I going to serve? Who am I going to submit to? I believe that God brought some of you here this morning really with that choice pressing on your spirit. Because all of us today will make a choice. And the enemy would rather put a third option in that says, "Do it later." You don't have to say no to Jesus now. Just say, "I'll make that choice later." You understand the trap there. But Joshua, verbalizing the heart of God, said, "Choose today who you're going to serve." And that's really the choice that every one of us are faced with. Some of you, you've already said yes to Jesus, Lord and Savior. The choice that you may need to make today is, "God, I'm choosing to let you be Lord in that area of my life that I squashed down, that I pushed back. I don't even want to talk to you about it." Maybe it's that addiction area. Maybe it's that clicking on pornography. Maybe it's that pull, the things that are undercover. No, you don't want to talk about that to God or anybody else. But God, as He's pushing and pressing in those things, it's not so He can merely make us feel bad. He wants to set us free. He wants to break that hold and change our hearts, our lives from the inside out. Purify our minds. Purify our motives. Purify our lives. It all starts. Maybe you say, I don't have an addiction of that nature. Here's the reality. All of us by nature, apart from Christ, are independent. We push back from Him. That's why the sin nature that's been handed down from Adam is inherent in us as we grow old enough to understand right and wrong. Then our choice, our bent is toward wrong. Not all necessarily the same levels of criminal activity or all kinds of craziness, but apart from Christ, the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin, Romans 6:23, is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I want prayer partners to come and join me at the front. With your eyes closed today, I'm not going to single you out or embarrass you. But I want to ask you this question, because as we are in this room and making a choice, are you here today and said, I've never taken the step that some of these, they testified about in the baptistry even today. I made a decision. I've tried every other thing. I've gone these other ways. But I made a decision to give ownership of my heart and life to Jesus. Because of what Jesus did on the cross when he died for me and he rose again, I opened the door of my heart. Jesus, come in. Make me new, just like your word says. If you're here in this place and that's you, just slip your hand up, would you? Say, today I'm making this choice. I want to follow the Lord. For some in this room, it's not that that's never been your experience. It has been. But somewhere on the journey, you settle for less and less of God, and the enemy's pulled you on such a track to distract and to ultimately destroy you. Today you're saying, I need to re-surrender, recommit, re-submit myself to the Lord. Would you slip your hand up through this room? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Would you stand up with me this morning? Oh God, Holy Spirit, come. As we sing this worship song, this last song, I want to open up this front. You need prayer for anything. We've been watching God do physical healings just lately. The power of Jesus, spiritually, physically, soulishly, emotionally, relationship-wise. God wants, if we give him control, we give him ownership, we give him authority, then he can do the changes. There's no way we can ourselves, but we surrender. God, do it in us. Let the fire of your Spirit and your presence blaze on the inside as we worship you, Lord. We honor and we thank you. We glorify you, Lord.
Thousand stories of why they think you're alive, but I've heard a tender whisper of love in the dead of night, and you tell me
Father God is calling.
That you're pleasing, that I
he wants a relationship. It only comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. Feel free to step out and join these that are already coming. It's who you are.
It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you.
Don't have to be a spiritual orphan anymore. Reconciliation, restoration.